Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Man, this guy's one of our favorite guests. He is a machine. NFL Network draft analyst Charles Davis on the buyersafety.com hotline. It's Sean and Roy on the home of America's team, 105.3 The Fan. Charles joining us on behalf of X-Tech shoulder pads. If you use the promo code DRAFT, D-R-A-F-T, at xtechpads.com, you're getting 10% off your pad order. More on that in a second. First off, let's say good morning, Charles. How are you, man?
I'm doing great. Good morning, gentlemen. How are you guys?
We're doing pretty well. We're kind of despressed a little bit here. Your reaction to the news of what the Cowboys did?
I love what you just said. Can I start with that real quick? Are you despressed? Do you think it's a good deal? I mean, it sounds like when you're saying despressed, it sounds like you're sad that he's gone, or is it just that it's so much fodder that, you know, there's just nothing else to talk about?
Well, no. All these are great questions, and that's why it's such a fascinating topic that's dominated the Metroplex here. We are upset because we don't think the Cowboys are better on the field. And now You have to go draft a rookie wide receiver, which history says doesn't have an immediate impact on a team in which we think is trying to go for the Super Bowl. We're disappointed that they waited this long. We're disappointed that they reportedly didn't even offer a pay cut to try to get that guy here at a better rate. So that's where this show stands on Dez.
Oh, that makes sense, and you guys are closer to it than I am. From a person who covers the league, I had one Cowboys game last year. It was a game in New York against the Giants the week after Eli got reinstalled as the starting quarterback. So there's a lot going on in New York at that time, and Dez started the game with a couple of drops and then came back and had the big catch and run and, you know, showed you all the things that I think that the Jones family and Will McClay and Jason Garrett had to chew and gnaw on about making the decision they made. From an outsider's point of view, I feel like they did Dez a disservice by waiting this long to let him go.
Yes.
Okay. I don't know that it would have taken, that it's really taken this long to make that decision. Did they keep him around so they could get a better price on Allen Hurns and those guys? Maybe. I don't know. I can't get into all that. But just, you know, an outsider's point of view, if you're going to try and help the guy and you're going to cut him, let him go at the start of free agency and let him have a chance to go through the whole cycle with everyone else. Now he's in, you know, he's kind of behind the eight ball a little bit because no one's going to sign a receiver right now until the draft's over. All right, everybody's got to see what they can pick up in the draft, see where they are there. It's a better contract for them drafting these young receivers, especially if you get into the draft and you're not drafting them at the top. So that's where it gets difficult. But here's the deal for me. That cap hit is like $16 million, right?
Yes.
You're not getting that value from him. No ifs, ands, or buts. Haven't gotten it for three seasons now. Right. And here's the thing. Branch Rickey, the great Mahatma, right? The old GM of the Dodgers. You remember his biggest adage about a player? Better to trade him a year too soon rather than a year too late.
Right.
So what he would always say is, I'll take my licks next year when that guy is ticked off and he wants his revenge and he wants to play me twice and he joins a team in my division and I look like a fool for a year. And then 2 years later, when he can't play anymore, you're like, oh, that's what you saw.
Right.
That was kind of where he is. I think that's where the Cowboys are. The cap hit was, I think it was just too big for the production they're getting. And the things that you get along with it with Dez, you put up with it when you're getting 1,200 yards a season and 10 touchdowns. You don't put up with it when you're getting less than 900 yards a season. It just doesn't work. It's like that with anyone. It's not just Dez. Pick a superstar. As soon as your value is less than the trouble that you may be perceived as causing or yep. the things that they're willing to put up with, that's when things change, and that's where Dez is, unfortunately. I wish it had been at the start of free agency. But I totally get why the Cowboys are doing what they're doing, even though could you have offered him a pay cut? Let me just ask this question. I bet the Cowboys asked it too. You really think if we sign Dez for less than what he wants,
he's going to be happy?
That's going to be fun for us?
Probably not.
There you go.
Fair point. Charles Davis of NFL Network joining us here on 105.3 The Fan. Before we get to the potential players that could replace Dez in this Cowboys offense, where do you see him being possibly the best fit around the NFL? I know you mentioned, obviously, guys, teams aren't going to want to sign receivers until they find out what they have in the draft.
Yeah.
But there's a great opportunity for teams here that do have money available to maybe make a first impression. Where do you see him fitting in?
Well, to me, it's a quick formula. Strong, strong head coach, okay? A guy who has presence, a guy who can handle things, a guy that's not going to bend it in the wind. Strong, strong quarterback. Okay, shut the heck up. Got heard enough out of you now, okay? I'm calling the next play. Here we go. All right? And a wide receivers coach who can help handle that room. New Orleans has all those qualities, if you look at it. Mm-hmm. Sean Payton. He's got presence. Listen, they held on to Sean throughout, you know, a year where he couldn't even coach. All right? Drew Brees, think he doesn't handle things at quarterback?
Yeah.
And Curtis Johnson's wide receivers coach there. All right? So when you put it all together, you've got a perfect spot for that formula to fit in. Green Bay, potentially. Mike McCarthy's been there a long time. Aaron Rodgers obviously has that presence where Dez will respect that. You know, those are the sort of places that I'm looking at. See, San Francisco doesn't work for me. Young quarterback with Garoppolo, you know, you're just getting started with him. Second-year head coach in Shanahan. I think they're dealing with Reuben Foster right now, and I'm not equating Dez to Reuben, so don't take it that way. But they got enough to deal with.
Yeah,
I don't think that they would want to go there. You see where I'm going? Places that seem like potential at Buffalo. Okay, you got a brand new quarterback there in AJ McCarron. You've got a second-year head coach who made a horrible mistake last year when he benched Tyrod Taylor and started Nathan Peterman.
Yeah.
I think that's another place that would probably say, yeah, I don't think we need that hassle.
All right, let's move forward now. NFL Network draft analyst Charles Davis here with xtechpads.com. Use the promo code DRAFT for 10% off your pad order today. Wide receivers, who could the Cowboys, who would you target if you were them? They're picking the number 19 right now. All the hype is about Calvin Ridley. We hear about DJ Moore. How do you evaluate this wideout class, Charles?
I don't think it's as strong as it has been in the past, even though the colleges continue to throw the ball around. It's one of those years where you have some solid guys at the top, but not the same depth that we've had. And you also will have a league that'll be a little bit gun-shy about receivers after what we did last year. Okay, when I say we, all of us that enjoy the NFL, think about the number of receivers that tumbled off the board early last year and what value did you get? Mm. You actually got your value deeper in the draft when you got it out of the Cooper Cups of the world. So I think that people may be a little bit more hesitant. I still think that 3 to 4 receivers could still go in the first round. Ridley's one of them. But I think if Dallas really has a guy they have targeted, whether it's Ridley, whether it's DJ Moore, you may want to move and try and get him because you may want to move in front of someone. And right now I'm kind of taking a look at Arizona, 15, Baltimore, 16. You may want to talk to them about the potential of getting into that spot to definitely get your guy because those are places that now need receivers, could easily target receivers. Baltimore's gone that route a couple of times recently and hadn't worked out so well. But that doesn't mean they won't take another bite out of the apple. Arizona needs to replenish their stock a little bit. You know, so when you're starting to get into that range, if you want to sit tight at 19, well, okay, if you got a couple guys you're cool with, you probably can get your guy at 19. But I think if there's one that you want, let's say it's Ridley, you might want to think about making a short move up there.
Do you have a comp for Calvin Ridley?
You know, I have not done a comp on him. I know my colleagues have spent more time on that in terms of having to comp him. All of us, we have assignments. You know how that is. Here's what I see with him. Let me just tell you how I see his game. He runs well. We know that, okay? He ran the good 40 at the combine. Scared me a little bit when I saw his vertical because that doesn't equate well. Normally, when you have that kind of speed, you have that explosiveness. But a vertical at, what, 30 and a half, 31, whatever it was, that surprised me a little bit. He's still a big body guy, makes good catches. We've seen that downfield. We've seen him do those things. I think that all in all, I think that he is challenged in terms of a DJ Moore being a solid, thicker guy, even though he's shorter. But Ridley's more of an outside guy. I think DJ Moore is more of an inside guy. Christian Kirk, who can fly, and you know him from being down there in Texas country.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Christian Kirk can fly and give you the kick return ability, but again, I think he's much more of an inside guy, more of a slot receiver based on stature. Can he play outside? Yes. Cortland Sutton is a monster, all right? If Cortland Sutton ran 4.3-something, low 4.4s, he might be at the top of the leaderboard, guys. He's got everything you're looking for. He's caught a ton of bubble screens at SMU, but as I plugged in more tape, I saw more throws downfield than I saw in the first couple of tapes I watched, so I had to adjust my analysis of him. I think that he's a heck of a player, but I just don't know that people are going to hop on him at 19 or even above, definitely not above that. So I think that if he goes late in the first round, that might be a little bit of a surprise. I think I targeted him more at the top of the second.
Charles Davis of the NFL Network joining us here on 105.3 The Fan. Make sure to check out their fantastic draft coverage there at NFL.com. Charles, I would like to ask, because the story came out on Friday, Adam Schefter saying people should not be surprised if the Cleveland Browns wind up taking a quarterback with both of their first-round picks, the first and the fourth pick overall. What are your thoughts on that potential strategy, and what do you make of that report?
Well, I want Adam to pay me some money. Because
that was your idea?
I said that ages ago. Now, I also said, and I'm very big on trying to be correct, guys. What I said was, I don't know if they should spend some time maybe discussing one and four taking quarterbacks and making sure they get it right. They haven't gotten it right. Ha, 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 ha. And I did go on to say, listen, I'm just speaking somewhat tongue-in-cheek because no one is probably going to do that. We've had teams take quarterbacks in back-to-back selections. People might not remember the Houston Oilers did it way back when. Dante Pastorini. And then the next selection, they took Lynn Dickey. It wasn't first round, second round, but I think it's first round, third maybe. But anyway, the top two selections were quarterbacks. Washington did it with RG3 in the first round, came back in the fourth and got Kirk Cousins, and people gave him ridicule. That worked out pretty well for them. I think that spending your draft capital at one and four to get two quarterbacks, there's a lot of sense it makes in terms of hedging your bets, but it's also one of those moves that if you make that, you're putting yourself in such a spot that anything goes wrong, you might as well go ahead and pack your office up. And John Dorsey, I don't think, needs that. I get where Adam's going, and I'd never dispute Adam Schefter. He's damn good, and he's a great friend of mine. I just have a hard time believing that when push comes to shove, that they would actually do that. I think the closest we came in Dallas, when Troy Aikman got drafted, and was it a compensatory pick for Steve Walsh?
How do you rank the quarterbacks?
Darnold at the top. For me, number two is Baker Mayfield. Number three would be Josh Rosen. Josh Allen, four. Lamar Jackson, five. Mason Rudolph, six.
The surprising draft storyline, the possible shocker that you think we don't see coming. What's the big surprise storyline that could be out there?
Surprise storyline?
Yeah.
One of those quarterbacks slips into the teens.
Okay.
And if I'm going to be more specific, I'm looking at Mayfield potentially slipping.
Okay.
Only because I think that people are going to get up to that time frame, and you know that cold feet, and then all of a sudden their analysis, and I don't know if we had a quarterback look like that before, and he seems awfully short, and then things start to happen. I don't know that it will, but that's where I could see it going.
Von Miller, Khalil Mack, Charles Davis, NFL Network here on behalf of X-Tech Shoulder Pads. Use the promo code DRAFT at xtechpads.com for 10% off. Tell us about what you have going on with X-Tech.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you mentioned those guys, and these guys wear these X-Tech pads, and they're the best in the business. I had my kid wear them when he played high school football, and the biggest deal about it now is the technology, as we know, has to move to the shoulders because we're having more and more rules. And we're making the game safer where we're taking the head out of the game. So we're actually going back to the future, the old days when you put your shoulders into people and tackled them, right? It's the patented design, exclusive partnership with XRD military-grade foam, which is great impact dispersion, lightweight, doesn't absorb water. 29 of 32 NFL teams, over 300 colleges, over 150 high schools are wearing X-Tech pads now. How about guys in the draft? Josh Rosen wore them when he was at UCLA. Josh Allen wore them when he was at Wyoming. You already mentioned xtechpads.com. Enter coach for 10% off your pad. These are the best pads in the business, guys. And if we're going to take the head out of the game, you better protect the shoulders, and there's no better pad to protect them than these X-Tech shoulder pads. And I believe in the guys who formed the company, Bob Broderick and Ted Monica. And Ted's a longtime NFL equipment guy, 100% American-made. Go get these things, guys.
Charles, you're the man, dude. One of our favorite guests. Keep up the fantastic work, and we'll be following you during draft coverage. Thank you for the insight.
I appreciate it. I'm going to leave you one last name wide receiver to take a look at, top of the second round.
Okay.
DJ Chark, LSU. Talk to you later.
LSU. Charles Davis, he's the man. Buyersafety.com hotline from the NFL Network.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.